Well, good morning. My name is Caleb, and Renaud said he wanted to not preach today, so I was kidding. Totally kidding. That would be a day when Renaud says he don't want to preach. In just a second, we're going to open up God's Word together. But before we do that, kids, if you're in the room, this would be the time right now with your clipboard. You could flip to the page that says sermon notes. So you can flip there right now and you can take notes while we read the Bible together. And for everyone, we know that God's Word, we open it up every single week together and hopefully daily because of how important it is, because it is alive and active. God's Word is the supreme authority in our life. It is the truth that transcends all other things we experience. And so before we jump into unpacking Scripture together, we're just going to read a psalm together to continue worshiping, to continue setting our hearts and minds on things above. So I'm going to read Psalm 38 right now. And really this psalm, as we read it, you will see that it really declares that we praise God because of his unending loving kindness. His unconditional loving kindness. We praise him through song. We praise him in our lives because of his unending loving kindness. So I'm going to read this psalm. Listen along. If you want to follow along, it's Psalm 138, and then we'll pray together as we go into God's Word. It says this: I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul in you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of God. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. For the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you do not forsake your people. That you will never forsake us because of Jesus and his work on the cross. That Jesus, when you were forsaken on the cross, it was so that we could never be forsaken again. Thank you so much that you regard the prayers of your people. That you are high and mighty above all things, but yet you listen to us. We are humble before you this morning, ready to receive with joy and gladness what you say to us from your word. God, I pray for where there's sin, we'd repent. I pray for where there's needing for encouragement, we'd be built up by your Spirit and your Word, God. Thank you so much that all the earth sings your praise, that there is nowhere in creation that is not submitted to your Lordship. And so we thank you so much that in your Lordship, you are kind and unconditional in your love for us. We praise you this morning. I pray that we would leave this room more in love with you, more transformed by your truth, by your word, by your Spirit than when we came in, and our affections for you would increase, God. And that today we would declare of your goodness and your unconditional love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well. Hey, thanks again for wearing your masks this entire time. I know as I'm preaching, most of you will fall asleep because you're breathing through those masks, but we will roll with that because that is just a space that we're currently in our little context here, considering our space. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, but over this time period where movie theaters have been shut down, and we have our televisions and streaming services, that streaming services have made available a lot of movies, including some great oldies. You know, like you're like, oh my goodness, I haven't seen that in so long, and it's so exciting. One of those movies that was made available that I was super excited about was the movie Twister. It's a movie about tornadoes, hence called Twister. And it's this team of people that instead of running from the tornado, they run into the tornadoes because they're trying to figure out how to best figure out to tell everybody else that has to run from the tornado how to know that it's coming. And so they're the storm chasers, right? But in this movie, there's multiple scenes where a tornado is heading toward a town and everybody runs and goes into their little shelters. And they get under the shelter and they lock down the hood and then they huddle up inside the shelter. And because they're in the shelter, they are safe from the storm. I feel a bit like that, quite honestly, about our gatherings up each Sunday. Whether we are gathering up here, like we're doing today for some of you, or gathering up in our living rooms, like we're doing today for some of you, the point is that we're coming together, stealing an hour, and sort of circling up inside this little hatch that is our safety net from the giant storms out there. I mean, how many of you know that there are a bunch of tornadoes out there swirling around that feel like they're going to kill us all? You should all go, yes, we know that, we feel it. So here we are in our little safety net, gathered up in our living rooms and in the sanctuary, and for a few brief moments, we are escaping those storms to fix our eyes on Jesus, set our minds on things above, and be together to stir each other up and spur each other on toward love and good deeds, right? And so do you feel a sense of gratitude and a sense of like, just, man, I want to thank God for this opportunity to be sheltered from the storm for a brevity of time? Yes, yes. But simultaneously, there's this feeling I have that I'm going to roll back out. And when I roll back out, I roll right back into the tornadoes. And so I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like, God, I'm ready to praise you and thank you and be grateful for this respite, but I'm also still scared. And so when I go out, what do I do with that? So the question I've been wrestling with is, how do we do life where we have these feelings that are so opposed because we're living in spaces where on the one hand there's much to be thankful for and on the other hand there's much to be nervous about and much burden to carry. Well, it turns out that throughout history, God has given his people direction on how to navigate these spaces because it turns out this planet has always been that way. That it's always been a collision between the brutality and beauty of life and the reality that we survive because sin has infected our planet and our bodies and creation. And but for the redemption of Jesus, that is what we experience. So, in the Old Testament, there was a way that God directed his people to be able to circle up in regularity, to be able to come together and say, man, let's remember where we are. So they had these different rhythms, and one of them was that they would bring certain offerings to the table. But the offering wasn't so much just about giving to God, it was about remembering something specific. And one of those offerings was called the thank offering. The thank offering would come in regularity. You would come with your thank offering, and bringing it, you wouldn't just bring the offering, you'd bring your heart. The point wasn't what you're giving God in tangibility. The point was reminding your heart of who he was. So in Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it super fast. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 33, we encounter this little moment of the thank offering, and I want to read to you how it goes down. Okay, listen to this. The voice of mirth and the voice of gladness. This is Jeremiah 33, verse 11. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever, right? So that's how the thank offering worked. Regularly throughout the year, you'd come to be reminded that there is much to be thankful for, whether times are troubling or whether times are good. Now, David, who was one of the kings of Israel, wrote a poem or a song to accompany the thank offering. We believe that the psalm David wrote that we are about to jump into is actually the song he wrote for the people to recite when they came to bring the thank offering. And this song gives us direction on how to navigate our emotions and our heart as we enter into the space of being grateful to God, whether or not times are troubling or not, right? So that psalm is Psalm 138. So I'm going to turn there, and we are going to go through this because it will help us navigate the spaces we're in and understand how we approach God in times like this, where we have both reason for gratitude and reason for some anxiety because of trouble. So David begins by writing, and though he's writing this psalm, the people that are speaking are the people of God, right? It's not just David speaking. He's given this to the people of Israel to speak when they come with their thank offerings, and he's given it to us to speak when we come with our thank offerings. Okay, so here it is. David begins, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart." Why start there? Because whenever we bring something to God, our temptation is that we forget that it's about the heart. It's not about what we bring. That's just the means by which we are reminded to bring our heart. So when we come to God in gratitude, how much of ourselves should we bring? It's not a trick question. Right here. All of ourselves, our whole selves, because we want to bring our whole heart so that we praise God for his loving kindness with our whole heart, okay? So David starts by saying, let's all remind ourselves, I'm here to bring my heart to you, God, not just my offerings, my tangible things. Before the gods, I sing your praise. Kind of an odd statement, right? Before the gods, I sing your praise. What is he talking about? Some say he means the spiritual beings. So when I come and bring my praise, I bring it before the angels, before the spiritual beings in power. I want them all. It's not just in front of humans that I give you praise. It's in front of all of the creation. Some say what he means here is the leadership, the human leadership, the kings and the rulers, because many of them went by this imagination that they were deities, right? So Pharaoh and people like that. And some say, no, he's talking about all the false gods that the nations have produced. So he's like, I'm in front of all the false gods, I'm praising the one true God. So which one is it? Is it the angels? Is it the kings? Is it the false gods? Well, the beauty is, we don't really know, but what we do know is that David was trying to make this point. I don't care who it is. I don't care. Before the kings, before the angels, before the false gods, before whomever, I am not going to come praise you in secret. I am not going to figure out who's watching and how strategic will it be. I'm going to come and I'm going to tell you how awesome you are, and I'm going to praise you for your loving kindness, whether the kings are watching, whether the angels are watching, whether the false gods that exist are mad because the people that created them are mad. Doesn't matter. I'm going to come worship you with my whole heart, and I'm going to do it in front of whomever, whenever, regardless of if they think I'm foolish or not. And then he says this, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. So this is interesting. This is where David says, this song is for when we gather up in a space to kind of remember together. So like we're doing today, gather it up here in this room, gather it up in our living rooms, together, coming together for a singular purpose, to fix our eyes back on who it is we trust so that the anxieties that have haunted us for the week and begun to dismantle the gospel, we can come back and we can remember the gospel, right? We can be like, oh, that's right, God is awesome. And so he says, look, fix your eyes together on the house of God and remember who he is so that we can come and worship his name. When we gather up, does it make our hearts feel good? That's not a trick question. Yes, I hope it does. Do we enjoy community? Yes. Is that a gift? Yes. When we come together, are we stirred up and we feel better about living life out there? Yes. But is that why we gather, for all those things? No, we gather for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to exalt God, to glorify God. We are not here for ourselves. We get some benefit from it, but we're not here because of the benefits. We're here because God is worthy of our praise because of his loving kindness. And so David says, when you come, remember, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about him, because his name is to be exalted. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. And so I am here to honor your name and believe and trust your word. That's why we're gathered. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. Now David makes a transition. The people are here. We've set our hearts before God. Here's my whole heart. We're doing it in front of whoever's watching it. We're doing it together as we fix our eyes on the house of God, the temple. We are making sure that it's not about us, but about God. So we've got all that in play. Welcome. And then he says this. I'm going to transition now as to why I feel there is reason to praise you for your loving kindness, regardless of the circumstances. He's going to go into now, let me start with the reason we have reason to be so grateful to God. And where does he begin? When I called on you, you came to me, and you increased my strength of soul. I love what David's saying here, because what he's saying here is, when I come to you, God, and I ask you to meet me, his answer isn't, then you externally fixed my circumstances. Sometimes God does that, sometimes God doesn't, but he doesn't go there. He doesn't say, I called on you and you replenished my wealth. I called on you and you removed my sickness. I called on you and you defeated my enemies. No. I called on you and you what? You increased the strength of my soul. See, what David is saying is, when I called on you, you did things internally in me that have changed the entire way that I'm able to engage in the external circumstances. And every time I call on your name, that's what you do. Now, what David didn't even know as he was writing this is that God was using David to write about the expansion of his kingdom and how he would do this throughout time. Remember that this is not just God strengthening our soul for the immediate circumstances, but when you and I called on God in desperation, when we recognized that we were lost souls, what did God do? What does the New Testament tell us? Did he rescue our soul and make us alive when we were once dead? It's still coming. Through the mask, you got to shout louder. Living rooms, did he rescue our souls? No. I want to hear you in your living room. Come on now. Shout it out. That's better. Okay. Yes, he rescued our souls. That's a really big deal. And did he redeem our future? Give us a hope and a future. Eternally. Yes. And did he restore our purpose? Yes. I mean, how grateful are we? See, what David is saying is, man, when I called on you, you came and fixed everything inside. And that's a big deal. Now watch what David's going to do. God is going to use him to write about a future time that David doesn't even fully understand. But what he understands is that your redemptive work is going to be realized, even if it isn't currently. Look what he says. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord. For they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord, and though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. What is David saying? So remember, in David's time, David and the people of Israel followed God, and the rest of the nations didn't, right? So all the nations were against him, and all the kings of the other nations were against the people of God. So David is declaring his hope in the work that God is going to do to redeem all things. God, I know that even today as we stand here bringing our thanks offering to you, and our circumstances may not give us plenty of reason to come with thanksgiving, we are thankful to you because you transcend circumstances, and you've said your kingdom is coming, and when it comes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are God. So your kingdom is going to come, it's going to come fully, and we are part of that kingdom. And so even if today the kings are not for you, there will come a day when they will be. The beauty is, we see that more than David did, don't we? Because did the gospel go from the people of Israel, the Jewish people, to the Samaritans? Yes, and the Judeans. Yes, and did it move on from there to the Gentiles? Yes, and is it invading all nations? Yes, and will there be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation that are worshiping God because they've been redeemed in the future in Revelation? Yes, so is his kingdom coming? Yes, so though we have circumstances today that dare tell us that God is not in control, what is David saying? Oh, no, you're coming. You're coming, so when I'm a little nervous about the present day, I can still place all my hope in what you have promised, and you are worthy of my praise because of what you've said will be true. So I praise you for your loving kindness, because though I may not feel it here and now, I know it to be true, because I have seen it and I will see it again. Okay, so then he says this. So now we got it. I mean, it could stop there, right? Okay, is that enough reason to praise God, regardless of circumstances? Good, but do we still live in these circumstances? Yep. And what I love about God is he never does this. He's not like me. Paint it with optimism, toss it into the future, hope for the best. That's not how God rolls. He's very realistic too. He's like, I know what you all are dealing with right now. So he has David write, not just about future hope and the big picture. He's like, okay, let's talk about the here and now. Now, look at what David says. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Anybody? Anybody out there? Living rooms here. Though I walk in the midst of troubles. You all ready for what's out there again? In about an hour, we're back out there. And you're like, no, tornadoes everywhere. I mean, it's troubling times. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Now, we may say, it's great, but he hasn't, like, shut down the global pandemic yet. No, I get that. And he hasn't, like, fixed my job that I lost. Yep, no, that's true as well. So you say, how has he delivered me? How has he preserved my life? It feels like it's falling apart. The point of this song, this poem, in the context of bringing the thank offering, is essentially David saying this. Are you here bringing the thank offering? So you alive. Because if you weren't alive, you wouldn't be. If he hadn't preserved you, you wouldn't even be here. You understand? So what David is saying is when we show up with a thank offering, what is the obvious conclusion? You have preserved me. I'm right here. You see, in David's context, it was because enemy nations would come in and plunder and pillage. And so what they're literally saying is whatever enemies out there would usually take us captive and cast us out, you have held them back because we right here. And so sitting here and sitting in our living rooms, we get to say, you have preserved me another day, despite all of the tornadoes out there, despite all the dangers that is our world. Here I am another day to worship you and to give you praise for your loving kindness. That's a big deal. And now he says this, look at this. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Man, I love that statement. It's like David is saying this to the people of God. When you come to him and things around you feel troubled and you're not sure what to do with all of them and you're not sure how to navigate all of them and you're nervous as you walk around and you're not sure what to say, you're not sure what to do, you're not sure how to play this out. Yeah, welcome to the complexity of the human story on planet Death, right? This is a war zone. What did we expect? And when we go out, we lose our heads in that midst and we get panicked and we're not sure. And he says, listen, stop for a second. Whose purposes are being realized on this planet? Yours or God's? Mine or God's? That's right. And who is going to make sure that those purposes are realized? Who is going to make all things new? Who is going to finish the work that he began in you and me? God. Guys, say that loud and clear. God, not us. So think about how awesome it is that he is reminding us in this. In the midst of your participation in the complexities of our day, you might get some things right, you might get some things wrong, you might make some things beautiful, you might make a mess of some things. We might get some things right, we might get some things wrong, but I promise you this, my purposes for you will be realized. How confident can we be in that? I mean, my goodness, no matter how much we struggle to get it right, God is going to fulfill his purpose for us. So in the environment we're in now, the biblical community, the followers of Jesus, are to show the world what it's like to follow Jesus in the midst of crises when we love each other, though we disagree about lots of things. How right are we getting that? Social media. Right? It's not easy. I get it. We lose our heads. We get all ticked off or frustrated about stuff. And here's what God says. When I'm done with this story, you will look back and go, oh my goodness, his purposes were realized. His purposes were realized. He is going to get it right and he's going to use us to do it. Watch this. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. So it's like David is saying, let's finish it out here. Let's finish it out here. Whose steadfast love endures forever? Whose kindness will be lavished on us for ages to come? God, so can we praise him for his loving kindness? Yes. And you would think that the psalm would just end there. It's beautiful. It's over. It's done. It's finished. But there's one more sentence. one more little thing David adds on the very, very end of this beautiful praise song in the context of our thank offering. When we come with gratitude and praise, despite the troubling times, and we say, God, fix my eyes back on you. Look what it says. Do not forsake the work of your hands. It's like David is saying to us, when you've brought your whole heart and your thanks offering, when you're grateful for what he's doing now and for his perseverance in trouble, when you're grateful that he's going to fulfill his purpose in you even out there in the troubling times, when you realize that the more troubling the times are, the more God does a great work both in you and through you. Because, hey, has it not been said in the New Testament? James, for example, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the refining of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Will God use troubling times to make us a better version and look more like Jesus instead of more like humanity? Yes. And in troubling times, are we not called to go into the tornadoes to redeem the unredeemed spaces instead of running from them? Yes. So he's going to do great things in us and great things through us in troubling times. We've realized that now. But here's what David ends with. Though I trust your steadfast love, I'm going to ask one thing of you, God. The work you're doing in me, the work you're doing through me, please don't stop. Please don't stop. See, I love this because it's almost like me acknowledging when I leave this place and I get back out there, I'm probably going to lose my head again. Like I'm a human and it's going to get all crazy. And I'm going to be on social media and I'm like, and then I'm going to talk to somebody, and then it's the whole thing's going to go nuts, and it's going to get crazy, God. So here's what I'm asking you. This purpose you said you were going to fulfill, this work you said you're going to do in me, this work you said you're going to do through us as a collective, hey, would you not stop? Would you do it in a big way? Would you refine me? Would you use me mightily to show the world what it's like to be unified as a body, loving one another and loving the world despite tornadoes everywhere? Yes, God, do that. And now I have all the more reason to say, I praise you for your loving kindness. And so we gather up here and everywhere to say, God, here we come with our thank offering. Not with anything, but with our hearts, our whole hearts, to thank you in troubling times or in great times, that you will fulfill your purpose in and through us because you are the great Redeemer. And that though we are invited to participate, we can't thwart your great promise to finish every good work you've begun and to make all things new. So God, would you do us a huge favor and don't stop the work, as hard as it might be in me and as hard as it might be for me to have to face my own realities and sins and struggles and to step into your life. Do it, God, do it, because we want to be redemptive. So, can we praise God for his loving kindness? Yes, we can. In good times, yes, we can. In sheltered times, yes, we can. In troubled times, yes, we can. And that is the beauty of the God we serve. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your extraordinary love for us and the amazing ways in which you have preserved us, loved us, moved us, shaped us, changed us, called us to repentance, called us to unity, called us to grow, called us to shape. And God, we are so grateful that we can come to you with this clarity of the great work that you've done, rescuing our souls, redeeming our futures, restoring our purpose, so that regardless of circumstances, we can come with great thanksgiving, praising you for your loving kindness. And we're thankful that you have now shown us again that even in troubled times, we can come to you realizing that you will do the great work of refining us and the great work of using us to refine and redeem the unredeemed spaces, because you are that good and you are that powerful. And so, God, as we continue to navigate these complex spaces in which we're currently living, would you, God, not abandon the work of your hand in us and through us, but instead call us into a greater clarity than we have ever had before of what it means to follow you in unity in times of struggle. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this little respite, this little shelter that we've been able to spend together for an hour in our living rooms, in this building, to worship you together, to set our eyes on your house, your temple, your promises, and to praise you for your loving kindness. We love you, Jesus.